Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Following the singing of a hymn by the student body, BJU President Steve Pettit continues his discipleship series entitled Encountering God from the Book of Psalms.
Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 121? We have two more studies this semester before we'll come to a conclusion about mid-April because of other things that are going on. And so next week we'll look at Psalm 139 and then we'll finish up the semester with Psalm 150. But today I'd like us to look at Psalm 121. It's been called the Traveler's Psalm, because it was often used for people who are traveling on journeys from one location to the next, and they're concerned about safety and protection. So let's look at this psalm this morning. I think you'll find it to be very, very encouraging. We'll read the entire psalm beginning in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Thank God for the reading of His word. Three times a year, Jewish people were required by the law to go up to the city of Jerusalem for an annual festival. You could almost say it's like they had three spring breaks. And they would go up for these festivals, and you probably have heard the names of them. They're Passover, Pentecost, and the one that may not be quite as familiar is the one called Tabernacles. And these were times where they were worshiping the Lord. They were spiritual vacations, you could say it that way. And so they came away from their times there in the city of Jerusalem where they saw their family, you could call it, because it's the children of Israel. They saw their brothers and sisters, their relatives, their aunts, their uncles, their tribal members. So they would come away with a time of great refreshing and renewing and a time of great rejoicing. So how did they get there? Well, they had to walk. For example, where Jesus lived, it was about an 85 to a 90 mile walk from Nazareth all the way down to the city of Jerusalem. Well, what would they do on those long journeys? They would always travel in large caravans. So they wouldn't travel in two or three people. It's too dangerous. They would take like a wagon train. They would take 20, 30, 40, or 50 people. So what would they do in those long trips? Well, when you were growing up, what did your parents do for you in long trips? Listen to Patch the Pirate, something along that line. In other words, you wanted to use the time for a profitable purpose, and that's exactly what they did as they traveled. They sang while they traveled, and they sang particular songs. And those songs were not songs that they chose, they were actually songs God had chosen. And those songs are Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Would you look at your at the Bible again? Look at your Bible. It probably says Psalm 121, and underneath it, you see a title. That title is either something like a Song of Degrees or a Psalm of Ascent. Now, why were they called these particular psalms? Well, there's a reason for it. And that is the road that led to Jerusalem from the city of Jericho, which is the primary way to get Jerusalem, was a hike uphill. The city of Jerusalem sits at 2,500 feet above sea level. It sits on top of a mountain. The city of Jericho, 15 miles away, sits at 800 feet below sea level. So it is the last day's journey. It's about a 15-mile hike uphill that a person in decent shape can do in 8 to 9 hours. It is grueling. It is through the desert. It is very, very challenging. And as they would make their way up to the city of Jerusalem, they called it a psalm of ascent. You're ascending up to the city, and these were the psalms that they would sing. Now, what's the purpose of singing these psalms? Well, obviously, it did help them to endure a grueling hike. In other words, you got your mind off of it. Same reason that people listen to music when they exercise. But for these Jewish people, they were spiritual reasons. And there were two primary reasons. Number one, these psalms were instructional. That is, they were intended to teach the travelers some specific lesson. For example, you notice the Psalms aren't very long. They're 6, 7, or 8 verses. So they're short. So it has a lesson, a message, and you're supposed to get the message as you were singing the Psalm. And we all understand the more you sing it, the easier it is to learn it. The second reason is they were inspirational because the purpose of the Psalms were to strengthen the pilgrim's understanding and knowledge of God. And in so doing, it was to strengthen their faith. So the question then this morning is, what is the specific lesson of Psalm 121? It is a lesson for life's long journey because life is long and it's a journey. And there are things that you learn as a pilgrim on your way to the city of God. And what is the lesson? Well, traveling in ancient times was very dangerous. And it was hard. It was difficult. And the lesson or the theme of Psalm 121 is this, that troubled travelers turn to trust God for security and safety. In other words, as they're traveling along and facing the realities of the difficulties and the fears that come, then you learn to trust God for safety and security. Historically, Psalm 121 has been called the traveler's psalm. For example, this was a psalm that 27-year-old David Livingston read to his family the day that he was leaving to go to be a missionary in Africa. That is, he looked to this psalm to give him strength and a sense of safety and security as this psalm reveals something about God. And that is that we learn that God is our helper and that God is our keeper throughout all of life's journey. That's the lesson of Psalm 121. So let's look at it more carefully, because we see that the writer here tells us, first of all, that the Lord is our helper. Look at verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, immediately, we have almost an interpretive question here. Because depending on your translation, that opening statement, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, some translations have a period at the end of it, and some have a question mark. And it's an interpretive way of looking at it. Why? Well, because for some, as they look up to the hills from the city of Jericho, walking up, it's a long journey. But not only is it hard, but it's dangerous. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan and the man that was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho and he fell among the thieves? It was very dangerous. So when you look at the hills, okay, it's a question of security. It's a question of safety. And so you're scared as you get to walking up there. That's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is that the hills represent ultimately where God is located, because God is in the city of Jerusalem. And when you look up and you see the hills, instead of it being a question of concern, it has a period at the end of it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That is, the Lord is in the top of Mount Zion. That's where my help is located. And whether it's a question of concern and confidence or it's a statement of confidence, the answer is still the same. Who is the one that comes to my aid? Who helps me throughout my life? And the answer is, it is the Lord. The Hebrew word for the word help is the word azer, or if you're from the South, ezer, however you want to say it. And this word is used throughout the Old Testament over and over and over. For example, the first place we find it is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, as God describes the first woman who was created by the Lord to come to man and be his helper. Listen to Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a what? A help meet for him. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. Of course, you know the story. God made Adam, and Adam was given the responsibility to name all the animals. I can see Adam now. He sits down on a stump, and all the animals come marching by, and he names them. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Skunk, and all the little stinkers, you know, and they come walking by. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus, you know, and all the little hippies, and they come walking by. Here comes Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe. What a cool animal. Long necks, and he walks, watches them, and they go over behind the tree, and they start necking with each other. And so he sees all these animals. And somewhere in the process, he realized that there was a male like him. And then there was another animal sort of like him but different, because they looked the same but a little different, called a female. And after about 10,000 couples walking by, it dawned on him there was something missing in his life. Duh. You know, ladies, if you haven't figured it out, men are a little slow. It takes them a while to get it, but he got it. And he realized that there was something missing in his life, and God made the woman to do for the man what she could not do for himself. Adam did not know what was missing, but when Eve showed up, she soon let him know that he needed her. And God has brought the woman into the life of the man to be his helper. That's the idea. So the Lord is our helper. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses names his two sons. His wife's name was Zipporah. One of his sons was named Eliezer. El meaning God, Azer meaning help. God is my help. And in ancient times, when they would name their children, they didn't choose cool names. They chose names that reflected their faith or their experience. And Moses tells us why he named his son Eliezer, Exodus 18:4. And the name of the other was Eliezer, meaning my God is help. For the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. In other words, because of his deliverance from death, he named his son in recognition of what God did for him, Eliezer. The Lord is our helper. He doesn't leave his children alone. God promises to come to you, to help you, to assist you. How often in the course of a day do you ask God for help? Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I need. Lord, I ask for. God, will you? The Lord is saying, I'm your helper. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, I love this story. The ark of the Lord is placed in a particular town, and it stays there for 20 years. During the time, the Israelites drift away from the Lord. They backslide. And the prophet Samuel comes and he speaks to them and he preaches to them and tells them if they return to the Lord, then God will deliver them out of the hand of their enemies that were coming to attack them, the Philistines. So what do? They responded in humility. They obeyed God. They got right with the Lord. And Samuel gathers them together at a town called Mizpah. And as they gather together, the enemy, the Philistines, find out that the children of Israel are there, and so they come up to attack them. As the enemy was fast approaching, the people became terrified and they became desperate. And they said to Samuel, please pray to God. And they did, and Samuel prayed as a prophet. And what did God do? God answered his prayer. And listen to 1 Samuel 17:10. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and confused them or discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. In other words, God stepped in to defend and deliver the Jewish people. And what did Samuel do? He set up a stone. The stone was to be a memorial, a remembrance of what God did. And listen to 1 Samuel 7:12, because he gave the stone a name. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, meaning stone of help. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. How many times have you sung the great hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? And you come to the second stanza, it says, here I raise my Ebenezer. And you wonder, what is that? Is that Scrooge? Of course not. Ebenezer means my stone of help. Here I raise this stone, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. The point is this, that in the singing of the song, I'm saying, God, you have helped me here, and this is a testimony that you'll help me all along the way. And so what does the Bible teach us? That the Lord, on the journey of life, sustains us. He helps us. He comes to protect his own. A couple of years ago, I was preaching in the Chicago, Illinois area. And there was a dear, precious couple, a young missionary couple that were in the service that day. I didn't know it. And I preached this sermon on the Lord is our helper. This couple had been in South Africa and they had very young children. And they came home on furlough primarily because they had been actually attacked by bandits who had come into the house, robbed them, and threatened to kill them. And in particular, it shook the wife to her core. And they came home on furlough to get over the event. And that Sunday was the day before they were to get on the plane and fly back to South Africa. And she was still struggling with fear and confidence and security. And that morning she heard from Psalm 121, "The Lord is my helper." He's the one that delivers us and gives us safety and security on the dangerous road of life. Folks, we're all going to look to somebody to help us. And the psalmist is saying, "The Lord is our helper." But then I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, that the Lord is our keeper. And if we look at verse 3, he begins to use the word keep, and he uses it six times. I'm going to insert the word keeper in the place where in the King James it uses a different word. Notice it says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall keep thee from all evil. He shall keep thy soul. The Lord shall keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." The Hebrew word for the word keep is the word shamar. It means that God watches over us. He's described, for example, as one who tends a garden as a gardener. God is our keeper. He keeps the garden. Or like a shepherd that watches his flock. Or like a man who watches and guards his house. The idea is this, that God cares for and God guards his own like a soccer goalie who is the keeper, who keeps the ball out of the net when the opposing team is coming to score. And what he is saying is that God not only helps us, but God comes to guard us. God protects us. He keeps us, first of all, from falling under the heavy weight of the journey. You know, it's a long ways. It's a long hike up to the city of Jerusalem. And in ancient times, travelers carried their own luggage. Sometimes the weight was too heavy. When life's burdens get so heavy, what do? We are to roll our burden on the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. In other words, you're not going to slip and stumble and fall. Let me tell you something. The road up to Jerusalem is treacherous. You can easily fall over a cliff down into a wadi that's hundreds of feet below. "Cast your burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Then secondly, his care for us is constant. God is undistracted. "He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Aren't you glad God doesn't take a nap? Some of you come in chapel, and some of you, bless your heart. Now, I don't see you guys in the back very well. I see you guys really well. So there was a guy over here, man. He's not there anymore because he's sitting somewhere else. Man, he was a sleeper. I was going to bring something and start throwing it at the guy. You know, wake up, dude. We sleep all the time. We fall asleep. We can hardly keep our eyes open. God never gets tired. Our cell phone wears out and we lose its charge and it dies. Well, God never loses his charge. God's at 100%, 100% of the time. God will never slack his care for us. God is never distracted. Have you ever talked to somebody, and when you were talking to them, you realize they weren't really listening to you? They were distracted. God never gets distracted. When you talk to God, he doesn't think about anybody else. He only thinks about you. God cares for us, and it's constant and undistracted. And then number three, he protects us from imminent danger. "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." What does that mean? If you've ever been to Israel, you know this, that the sun in Israel is oppressively hot. It's brutal. and you're walking through the desert, there's no shade. And so travelers are in danger of heat stroke. And so it just sucks the life out of you. Well, God is simply saying that I am going to preserve you. I am like the shade. I am your comfort. I am your relief. When life is wearing down on you, where do you go to get relief? You get it from the Lord. And of course, the moon here reminds us of the dangers that hide in the shadow and lurk in the darkness. And God is always there to protect us from harm. The Lord is our helper. He is our keeper throughout the entire journey of life. God was with the pilgrims as they went to Jerusalem and as they made their way home. And God will be with his children until they safely arrive to the heavenly home. And how can we be absolutely certain of this? Because Jesus said in John chapter 16 to his own disciples, "It is absolutely necessary for me to go away. Because if I don't go away, then the comforter or the helper will not come to you." You see, the way that we know that Psalm 121 is real to us as believers is that helper now lives in our heart, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us throughout the travels of life. And so you and I have security and safety and the one who is our helper and our keeper. May we pray together. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are our helper and our keeper. Thank you that you promised to provide our every need and to protect us all along our journey. Thank you, Lord, that you keep us from evil and temptation. Lord, we depend on your power to overcome what we are by nature. Lord, we roll our burdens on you to carry them. And Lord, we ask for the sense of your presence to bring us relief and comfort when we're sad. Lord, you're the one that makes us happy and joyful. Thank you, Lord, that your power is eternal and that your care is perpetual. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to The Daily Platform. Bob Jones University President Steve Pettit invites you to visit our campus in Greenville, South Carolina, and see how God is working in the lives of our students. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.